Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Tuesday, January 2nd. A new year can cause us to be anxious about what's ahead. Today's podcast helps us find relief by learning about God's Word. Here's part two of Facing Fear with Courage.
In this passage of Scripture I want to read today, it is a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and I want to read about how God spoke to this one person, and He gave us the key to overcoming fear. He gave us the key to living a godly life, a successful life, and a prosperous life. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Joshua, the very first chapter. And in this first chapter of Joshua, remember what's happening, that the nation of Israel, they had been to the edge of the promised land, which God had promised them years before. And having come through the Red Sea, Exodus out of Egypt, to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, across the wilderness, and now to the edge of the promised land. And you remember what happened, and that is when Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land to spy it all out. They came back and 10 of them said, "We can't do it because of walled cities and because there are giants there." Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Yes, we can. God has given us this land. Let's go." The people listened to the 10 rather than to the 2. And as a result, their negative attitude caused them to make a decision not to go. And so the fact they were just about to stone Moses and Joshua and Caleb because they didn't want to go. They were afraid. After all that God had brought them through, crossing the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, receiving the law of God, all the things that had happened, they said, "No, we're not going." They moaned and groaned all night. God said, "All right, that's it." He said, "Now don't try to go, because the fact that you have decided to disobey me, refuse to trust me, that's it." Well, they tried anyway, and they suffered an absolute total failure. But worst of all, for the next 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness, and all those over 20-some years of age dying off. Now they're right back at the same place, and listen to what's happening. 40 years later, he says, beginning in verse 5, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you." Now, here's what I want you to notice. He says, "I will be with you," verse 5, "I will not fail you or forsake you." Now watch this. Since the moment you were saved, the day you were saved, those three promises are as much your three promises, according to Jesus, as what he said to Joshua. "I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you can claim all three of those promises. What did Jesus say? He said, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, "I'll be with you even to the end of this age." When he was leaving them the night before he was crucified, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come back to you in the presence of the Holy Spirit." And he says in Hebrews, he said, "I will never forsake you." Every single believer has the promise he gave to Joshua to live by every single day. So let me ask you a question. What is it that you and I fear so much that we want to give up and quit, throw in the towel, or just want to sit around and weep, moan, and groan? When God is with you, will not forsake you and will not fail you. He cannot. Listen, he can't because it's out of his character to do it. And God doesn't change his mind about things. And he says, "I'll be with you. I will not fail you. You can trust me. You can count on me." Now, here is the key. Here is a part of this passage that most folks never think about. They just read right over this. So I want you to listen carefully. Let's slip down, if you will, to verse 8. "This book of the law," Deuteronomy, "shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that," there's a reason, "so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have success." So now watch the key. Watch this. He says, you shall meditate upon it day and night. Well, what does meditation mean? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean read through the Bible in 1 year. That's not meditation. It doesn't even mean read it right quickly in the morning before you go to work. Meditation, let's take that verse. Meditation means I not only am going to read it, I'm going to think about it. Not only am I going to think about it, but I'm going to sort of run it around in my mind. I'm going to observe what he says. I'm going to try to apply it to my life. I'm going to ask him some questions. Now, what are you saying to me, Lord? What do you have in mind? You said, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Well, how am I going to be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, but sometimes I do tremble. I am a little discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you really mean wherever I go, whatever I do, that you're with me? You see, we can take that verse if you want to and just keep going on and on and on. What I want you to see is this. Meditation isn't just reading it. It is reading it, believing it, absorbing it, applying it to my life, asking some questions. You see, here's what happens. When you start meditating upon a passage of Scripture, your spirit gets quiet. Watch this. Your spirit gets quiet. And fear begins to dissolve. Not only does your spirit get quiet, but it begins to purify your heart. Because when you begin to meditate upon the Word of God, you're taking God's holy Word into your life, into your mind, into your thinking, your conscience, your subconscious. And while I may be reading this passage and meditating, and what's God's Word going to do? If there's something in my life that's not right, it's going to bring it to the surface. You don't have to read the whole Bible to get under conviction. You can just read one verse. Listen, God knows your sincerity, that you really want to know the truth, you want to do what's right. That being the case, he's going to bring to your mind those things, watch this, those things that may be causing the fear. Three things that will cause fear is disobedience, unbelief, doubt. All of these things cause us to doubt, disobey God. And we won't trust him. So what happens? It quietens my spirit, purifies my heart. And so the more I read, the more understanding I get. Because the purer your heart, the clearer your understanding of the Word of God. It sharpens your perception. It clarifies your direction. That is, you're asking God to give you direction. What does he say? He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. He'll make your path straight. God is willing and ready to show us at any moment and at any time, in any difficulty, any challenge, any heartache, any burden we're going through, he will show us how to walk through it successfully. But he says, here's the key. The key is meditation upon the Word of God, reading it. Likewise, when you begin to meditate upon a passage, your faith's going to increase because you're going to begin to believe what he's saying. It's going to enlarge your view of God. When you read that 41st chapter of Isaiah for a moment, look what he says about what he's going to do and how he's going to work in your life. And what happens is your view of God, your faith in God increases, your view of God increases, and what? Everything begins to change. That's why he said, meditate upon it how? Day and night. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't listen to all this. Don't watch all that. You meditate upon the Word of God. Focus your attention upon that, and he will guide you successfully wherever he's leading you. Now, somebody says, well, how do you live a Christian life? If I could just tell them one thing, here's what I'd say. Meditate upon the Word of God day and night. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, but let it not depart from your mouth, in your thinking, from your eyes. In other words, this is the key. Is it any wonder that the devil does everything in his power to cause people to doubt it? They start in school, in the colleges. Well, that's just a book full of errors. And when you say, well, show me one, this is God's holy word, and it doesn't have mistakes. It has truth. And no one will ever tell you that they followed the word of God and it was a wrong thing. If they tell you that, it's because they disobeyed something. Here's what I want you to see. Whatever you're facing in life, here is the solution. To get in God's Word and ask him, Lord, you show me the passage I'm to read. You show me where my heart is to dwell in all of this. And he will show you. Meditating upon the Word of God is the key to everything. Because here's what's happening. You're getting God's viewpoint. In your mind, He's getting bigger and bigger that He's everything He says He is. You know He's not going to leave you, not going to forsake you, not going to fail you. You can't lose. There's no way to lose if meditation upon the Word of God is the basis of your relationship to Him, which it should be. You say, well, I pick up the Bible. That thing is so big. I don't know where to start. I'll give you an example. Start in the Psalms, or start in the Proverbs, or start in the Gospel of John. You can get into the Epistles, but if you're not too familiar, then start with the book of Proverbs, because it tells you how to live. And to make it even simpler, read it in the Living Bible translation. That part of the Scripture is the most practical part of Scripture to be found in the whole Word of God, because what it does, it tells you how to live it out day by day. And how many verses about courage and faith and trust and obeying Him? Meditating upon the Word. So ask you a question. When is the last time by yourself with your Bible you opened the Scripture and you said, Lord, I just need You to speak to me and I'm listening and I'm going to read, God. I'm going to trust You to speak to me. Or do you just say, well, you know, I don't understand this. I'm going to go to church. Maybe I'll hear something that will help me. Mm-mm. This book is as much your guide as it is my guide or anybody else's. Day and night, He said. Day and night. Don't stray to the left. Don't stray. Whatever He says, that's what we're to do. Now, the question is, people say, well, I can be a success without the Bible. Or even with people who are tough, they say, I can handle it. There's some things you can't handle, friend. You need Him. He said, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you. I won't forsake you. You can count on me. Listen, He says, I'll prosper you in whatever you do. Whatever God calls you to do, He says, I'll prosper you. He says, I will guide you to be successful in whatever I guide you to do if you will meditate upon My Word and don't turn from the right or the left. And people say, well, you know, I think my life is a failure. Well, it isn't because you meditated upon God's Word. You meditated on something else. All I'm challenging you to do, listen, for God's sake and for your sake, try it. Now, here's a course of action that develops our courage. You want to develop courage? Look at this. Number one, watch this. Meditation on God's Word becomes our compass. If I am in the Word, He is going to show me how to go through some difficult hardship or some sense of direction that I need. That's the first one. It becomes a compass. Number two, another way that strengthens our courage, recalling past experiences of God's faithfulness when facing challenges. What about in the past when you faced them and you cried out to God? You got in the Word and you read a psalm or two. And what did He do? He brought you through whatever He was bringing you through. You didn't know anything about meditation much, but look how many times He's brought you through circumstances. Then number three, observing the courage of others and the outcome. And I think in my own life, I look back how God has blessed other people, things they've been through, and it challenges me, encourages me. When you see how other people are challenged and they walk through it confidently, trusting God, and you see how God has prospered them and made them a success at whatever they're doing in life. Then, look, ask the critical question, and most people don't want to do that. The critical question is this. If I don't obey God, what's going to happen? If I do obey Him, what's going to happen? If I do obey Him, what did He say? If I don't obey Him, what did He say? Listen, what we have is the mind of God. We begin to see things as He sees them. We begin to think the way He thinks. That's why He said, don't let it depart from your mouth. Let it be a part of your conversation, in your thinking. And remember this. This is why I say to you, when you go to bed at night, you should go to bed at night thinking about the things of God. And I love all these passages where He talks about meditation. Listen to this. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. For You've been my help, And in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. You can go to the 119th Psalm and lots of verses about meditation. Taking time to be in the Word, absorbing the truth, and asking God for guidance. One last thing. Listen, recall His all-important promise. I'll be with you. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. There are a lot of things we can say about how to live a Christian life, how to live a godly life, how to live a prosperous life. You cannot fail living a godly life. You can't. That is the promise of an omnipotent God who has all power to guide you and make you successful and prosperous in your life. And here's the key to the whole thing. If I focus on my problem, it's going to get bigger and bigger and larger and more grand. If I focus on Him, all of that begins to dwindle in the presence of holy, omnipotent, awesome, indescribable, immeasurable God. Every problem dwindles into nothing because He's God. You may not be a Christian. You're thinking, well, I'm not too sure I can believe that. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you really want to believe it? Here's the promise of God. You're not a believer. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't think He's the only one. Well, you can die like that. And you know what? One of these days you'll say, if I'd have only listened, if I'd have trusted Him, you're going to live a miserable life out there. If you will place your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, which means that you believe that when He went to the cross as the Son of God. He died a redemptive death, not the death of a criminal. He died to pay our sin debt in full. The moment you trust Him as your personal Savior, from that moment on, the Spirit of God comes into your life, and He's the one who gives you enlightenment, instructs you, and helps you to understand His Word and how to live a godly life. But until you do that, you're on your own. Listen, your friends are not always going to be there. Your parents are not always going to be there. Without Christ in your life, you're on your own. You say, well, I have lots of help. How long are they going to live? What's going to happen to them? Suppose they change their mind. You see, the truth is, you cannot live a life of peace and contentment and joy. In fact, the truth is, you can't live a successful life without God. You say, well, let me tell you where I am. My name is so-and-so, and I'm one of those billionaires. That doesn't make you a success. What makes you a success is living a godly life. Listen, who decides whether you're a success or not? Hollywood? Politics? What makes you a success? The only person you and I should be concerned about how they view us, whether we're a success or not, is Almighty God. And you see, our goal is not to be a success in the eyes of the world. Our goal is to be a success in the eyes of God, that we walk in His ways, follow His will, obey Him, and fulfill His purpose for our life. That is a success. And you have someone, once you trust Christ as your Savior, living on the inside who will help you be just that. It's a choice we make. I can face any and every circumstance and situation with Him or without Him. If you're wise, you'll face it with Him. And Father, how grateful we are that You make it so simple and so plain. I pray that every listener will take to heart what they've heard today and realize You've given us the formula, and it's very simple. Now we make the decision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of Facing Fear with Courage. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.